Episode 182. Welcome back to Steel and Nas, presented by Hedge Better. Today is Wednesday, February 19th. Exact 2 weeks since we last recorded the Super Bowl episode. We are now back with Team USA playing tomorrow night on Thursday. So I don't know when you'll see this episode, but either way, we're all in
for Canada.
Team USA in Boston tomorrow night. Tickets are going $1,200 just to get in the building.
I know. Wish I could.
And it should be more. It's great. You know, I have the Super Bowl recap. We're going to talk about that a little bit. Baseball Minute with Bregman, the kind of Rafi Devers drama, Tristan Cassis. We can talk about a little Yankees AL East, see what's going to happen there as we get closer to the season. But spring training started basically this week. Positive stuff. I think I'm actually going to be more avid of a baseball fan this year.
All right, cool, dude. Let's get the hockey.
Yeah. We have five questions presented by our sponsor from the law office of Patrick J. Foley. If you're looking for legal proper representation for, you know, closing real estate deals, look no further than the law office of Patrick J. Foley, located at 265 Willard Street, Quincy, Massachusetts. Great guy. Does great things.
Stud.
Future's bright for over there on 265 Willard Street.
Grows every day.
We'll hop in it right now. Four Nations. I mean, you look at all the other All-Star games, and I know it's tough to compare. Like, NBA All-Star game was trash. Like, most of them's trash. But they just did away with their All-Star game this year and said, hey, we're going with the Four Nations. And then when you represent your country, whether it's Sweden, Finland, Canada, the USA, you name it, these guys are playing more than just, you know, the back of the jersey.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And they nailed it because it's the two best rivalries in, like, that sport.
Yeah, and every team was good. Like,
yeah. Finland's the reigning gold medal winner in the Olympics. And they were, like, the clear four.
And Canada, Canada took care of them in that last game. But even Sweden didn't lose to a team in regulation, and they're not even making the final. Yeah. They looked great against the U.S. Like, obviously, U.S. kind of played that third game. They were already in the championship. They were kind of playing their, I wouldn't even call it B team, because they're still the best, couple of the best players in the world. I know
absolutely.
Sat the Kachucks, they sat Hellebuck, but, you know, when it comes down to it.
Just a little bagged up.
Everyone's pretty damn good. Like, the fact it's USA-Canada, I guess if you just look at face value, not surprising. But to me, all of those teams are very qualified to win the tournament.
No, absolutely. Yeah. The only thing that would change if you went to the Olympics is, like, Russia would get thrown in there.
Yeah.
Like, everything else would pretty much be the same.
Yeah,
like, those four would be, like, the final four of the Olympics. Like, regardless.
But then, you see all these guys. I know Pasternak, what's he, Slovenian or something? He's Czech. So he's watching it, you know, as a fan. Mm-hmm. But it's really cool how it goes from Montreal. Now it's in Boston. It seemed like the crowd was eating it up. I think it was a 1 o'clock matinee and then that 8 o'clock. Kind of getting towards the big night here, which will be Thursday night when Canada takes on USA for the ship. I mean, USA came in dominating fashion, 3-1 win. Just a gritty game with, you know, fights off the face-off. I know, you know, as Boston fans, can't be big on Kachucks, especially Matt. But, you know, they set the tone.
You fight a guy from Team Canada in the first 2 seconds. You won somebody. Like, I hate that fucking guy. But and then his brother, 3 seconds into the game. And then JT Miller, I mean, 3 fights in 9 seconds.
He looks like a fucking ogre, huh? Who's the other one?
Yeah,
he's fucking huge.
They do not look that similar, to be honest.
But, so far in the tournament, I mean, you look at each game, and Jack Eichel has been the best player on the ice, I think, at least, you know, goal-scoring threat-wise for Team USA. Connor Hellebuck is probably the best goalie in the world right now.
Definitely in the running, for
Winnipeg
sure.
Winnipeg Jets has been great. It seems like it's going to come down. It seems like an overtime game is going to happen tomorrow, Thursday night. But, you know, when Canada, who is undoubtedly, I think, the best nation, you know, to do it, like, it originated in Canada. And Team USA, you know, been there, done that, but, you know, really hasn't won, you know, the big game in quite some time. I mean, you go back to it. I mean, what's the biggest win in USA hockey history since 1980? Like, I couldn't tell you that.
1996 World Cup.
Okay. So you were doing your homework today.
And we need to avenge the 2010 gold medal
game
with Sid the Kid. That's the worst possible outcome. Is him, like, 15 years later, I'd run right into Wally Beach and never come out of it if he does that again.
I will say it is, like, best skater in the world right now, Connor McDavid. That, like, north to south goal there in the game last Saturday night. It's just two good teams. I mean, you still have to say that Canada has more talent. I mean, their first line, Nate McKinnon, yeah. You know, you name it, Connor McDavid, Sidney Crosby, like those guys are base.
He absolutely torched McAvoy for that goal. And then McAvoy was like, "You're literally never getting by me again, dude."
Yeah, smacked him.
Absolutely
smacked him.
Pummeled fucking McDavid as hard as anyone could has hit McDavid. I mean, that guy's hard to touch. Yeah. Never mind fucking crush.
And it's warranted, like, but they keep comparing, like, Cale Makar is going to be, like, better than Bobby Orr. Like, and I think, like, he is on his way, but let's slow it down a little bit. I know he already has a Stanley Cup and... Like, but he's only been in the league like 3-4 years. I mean, guy's a stud. Brad Marchand, what do you think about that? Brad Marchand coming to Boston tomorrow night as an away.
I mean, he's. Yeah. I mean, he scored their first goal, so he already jacked up Montreal.
Yeah. Like if he scores
so it's
tomorrow
quite
night,
a week for him.
If he scores tomorrow night, there's not going to be cheering for like the USA side, right?
No, but they it would like the boos will be weaker. Than if, like, fucking Sidney Crosby scores.
Yeah,
you
yeah,
know what I mean?
Nah,
like, the reaction will still be booze, like, most definitely. But it'll be like,
really,
oh,
yeah.
Fuck, yeah.
And Jeremy Swayman will, I mean, he has a free ticket to the game.
Yeah.
Like, he'll be sitting somewhere. I don't know whether it's, you know, sweet. Maybe they got him some nosebleeds. He won't be suiting up as he's the third string goalie. Hellebuck will definitely be playing tomorrow night. And then I look at the other end where I know this is probably going to come out after the game, this episode, but Jordan Binnington has won a game 7 in the Stanley Cup in TD Garden.
That's true.
If you want to bring up horrible memories.
But see, this is why I like our chances. This is why I like our chances because they're bringing it up. It's like a lot of the players on the U.S. team, literally the biggest game I've ever played in.
Yeah, ever.
Like Dylan Larkin and Brady Tkachuk were like, dude, we haven't like made the playoffs. Like, this is the biggest game I've ever played in my life. Like, they were like literally, like it is up until this point.
And have this is the first tournament they've done of the four nations, right?
Yes.
They should do this maybe every other year. I would love every year, but like just like to make it sacred, maybe every other. But if you're telling me like all of these ideas of, you know, you talk about the NBA, the in-season tournament, MLB, how, you know, you made it count. The All-Star Game count of the winner gets the home field advantage in the World Series. That's no more, but that used to be. But you think of all these ideas and representing your country basically as an All-Star break where these guys are, you know, killing for this gold medal here, I think is unspoken words. It's great for the game of hockey. And they said it was the highest-rated non-Stanley Cup game in over 25 years.
Oh, yeah, and it's going to be broken tomorrow. Yeah. Like, that record is going to be broken literally tomorrow.
It's literally
like
a Super Bowl. It's a Super Bowl of hockey, basically.
No, especially, like, friggin', like, all the stuff, like, politically. Like, this is actually, like it's fucking, it's not Cold War-esque, but it's, like,
yeah,
it's
said,
there.
They said Donnie T is supposed to be in the game.
Like, that aspect is there.
The
to
president
game,
of the United States, it's coming to the game. They said on Monday, the Prime Minister of Canada was at the Canadian game, but he was sitting like low because like no one even recognized him. Like, imagine that. Like,
oh yeah, true. Yeah, just hiding in the fucking
Like, you're like, oh, like, you're like no idea.
Yeah, buying some popcorn like everyone fucking else. Yeah.
Oh boy. I obviously dying room for Team USA. I hope I'm wrong, but I don't know. Tough to beat the Team Canada 2 times within a week. It's gonna be tough.
If you think I'm picking Canada playing in Boston, you're out of your mind. USA by 100 tomorrow.
Yeah, USA took care on Canadian home soil. I'm going to have to pick Canada taking the championship as they time and time again have just beaten down USA hockey. And I just this is like I was thinking about it today in comparison to like the Maple Leafs and Bruins of just how the Bruins always have their number and it's like the other way around here with Team Canada. And I'm going to try to get all those goosebumps out of my head by 8 p.m. Thursday night. But either way, it should be a hell of a tilt. Should be great
Can't
action.
Can't wait.
Yep. Yeah, so that's basically the Four Nations. I also we have to get down to it. Was it worth Charlie McAvoy playing when he could be out for an extended period of time?
No. I know how big it is, but the Bruins aren't far enough out of it to cancel the season yet.
Are they good enough, though, where it really matters?
For
And how much time is he going to be out? That's probably...
But the infection part sounds pretty fucked up.
Yeah.
Like, if it was just a shoulder injury, that'd be, like, one thing. Maybe play through it. Like, the Kachucks are going to play kind of hurt. If it was just a shoulder... But the... He was getting, like, IVs. Like, he was, like, rushed to the hospital. Like, you probably sit... That's fucked up. This isn't the Stanley Cup playoffs.
Oh, no. He definitely shouldn't play. No, my thing is, are you, like, happy that he played... Like, if you were going into this knowing that he was going to get hurt as a Bruins fan, would you still be like, play? Because the way he played last Saturday. I just think the Bruins season isn't going to be what it's put out to be this year. I think it was worth every penny.
Yeah, but, yeah. That was incredible for him. Yeah, if that's what you're saying. Yeah,
I'm not saying should he play. No. He's out.
Sorry, missed that part. Yeah. But yeah, absolutely, that was incredible. I mean, he put on such a performance. I mean, I think he had 4 hits in like the... going into like the third period or around there, and like it was literally like 2 smokes of McDavid and 2 smokes of Sidney Crosby, and like be a better fucking Team USA guy than crushing those.
I think we get so greedy as Boston, like Bruins fans, with Charlie McAvoy, because we all look for, you know, his offensive output, which hasn't been there from season to season, but this guy's a hell of a defenseman. He was doing it on a bigger stage the other day. He's a top 5, top 10 defenseman in the league, no doubt.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. 100%.
I think he's worth every penny he's getting paid. Anyone who gives him shit, you know, he's been one of the best Bruins on the team for a long time. And that was including when Bergeron and Krejci and all them were on the team. He was right up there.
Absolutely.
Yeah. All right. Well, we're going to hop on the Super Bowl recap.
USA.
Yeah.
Not tonight.
USA was... basically the chant for Go Birds and the Philadelphia Eagles Super Bowl win over Mahomes. So no three-peat. The Eagles win their second Super Bowl. Jalen Hurts wins MVP. And their defensive line beat the shit out of a Kansas City offensive line. And Pat Mahomes looked terrible. He was awful.
Magic Mike could not make it tonight, but he single-handedly killed the Chiefs.
He did. He really did.
He ran up the fucking rocky stairs with a cigarette in Philly, and then Philly absolutely pulverized the Kansas City Chiefs.
A controversial character, whether you like him or not, you have to admit to yourself, he did it.
He did it. Wish he was here.
Beginning to end, I mean, it was 34-0 at the time, right? It was 34-0. With 2 minutes left in the third quarter.
No, one, if not two, of those Chiefs touchdowns were after Sirianni got Gatorade bathed.
Yeah.
That game was so fucking over. Like, Pat Mahomes before has like 120 yards that should be taken off of the box sheet.
Yeah.
Like, that was a fucking joke. He was terrible.
He was so bad.
He was fucking awful. That was a beatdown. And that's not just him being awful. Like, Matt, like, so much credit to the Philly defense. They played out of their minds. Yeah. Philly could have beat fucking anybody in that game.
Anyone. Their defense was Cooper DeJean with the pick.
Oh, yeah. No, that was a front-to-back beatdown.
Beatdown. And that was going into the game, I said there's going to be 2 crucial factors. There's going to be, can the defensive line get pressure on Pat Mahomes? Check.
By Miles. Can triple check.
Can Saquon Barkley take over the game? Didn't even matter.
No.
He didn't have to, actually. To the Chiefs' defense, that's the one thing they did good all night. They really limited Saquon Barkley, who's been the best player in football all season, and instead Jalen Hurts fucking beat you. He beat you every step of the way. And anyone giving that guy shit, everyone saying, you know, he's had such a story in his career of, you know, going from Alabama, getting benched, going to Oklahoma, getting in Heisman contention, going in the second, third round, winning the job with the Eagles. Second Super Bowl, even the last Super Bowl, if they won, he would have easily won MVP. And this Super Bowl, it's so tough. And he did play. He played extremely well. He deserved the MVP. But, you know, there were so many good guys on their defense that played well. You can't just give it to one defensive player. It's they have to, like, have, like, 2 pick sixes.
If you could fucking just, like, 11 awards to the defense, like, sure, but, like, obviously you can't, so, like, you got to give it to Hurts.
100%. Yeah, Hurts had 5 incompletions. 5.
No, and that was a massacre, and I thought the Eagles could win. I truly did, not just, like, being the Chiefs hater. I really thought they stood a good chance.
Yeah.
Never predicted that beat down in a million years. Never saw that coming.
And it was right out of the gate, and at halftime, you're like, actually, even look at the sound effects after, they're like, oh, the Patriots did this. It's like, yeah. You're not doing that.
No, it's not absolutely. Especially, I mean, and not just like the Tom Brady factor, but like the Eagles so much fucking better than the goddamn Falcons. On the other side of it, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
no. But I then you go back to that argument, and I get it. It's just one game. It was a Super Bowl, but it is just one game. What does that do to the Mahomes-Brady conversation? I think at least for now, it shuts up a lot of these, you know, front runners, people, of at least for the time being, since Brady never, you know, got shit pumped in a Super Bowl.
That's two shit pumpings.
Yeah, that's two.
That's two shit that's pumpings. Two. Yeah. So
I mean, final score wise, they lost worse to Tampa.
Yeah.
I mean, to your point, those two.
Yeah.
Shit
no, and that was also a fucking beatdown.
Both of them were beatdowns, and they both had to do with offensive line being trash for Kansas City. Just
and Tom Brady in attendance.
Yes. Yeah, Tom Brady 2-0 in attendance. Jesus.
I think the stat of like, it was probably like halftime, maybe a little after, it was like Mahomes has been outscored like 55-9 in fucking Super Bowls with Tom Brady in the building.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, that's amazing.
go Birds.
Go Birds.
I wish Magic was here. I don't know what he's doing, so I'm not going to call him, but that Kendrick Lamar halftime show was trash. It was really bad.
I'm a Kendrick Lamar guy with him. Didn't really like that halftime show.
No, I like, as you know, I'm not a big music guy, but
I know, yeah, huge Kendrick Lamar guy. Yeah, but that wasn't huge.
Did you see that guy who had Drake had a penthouse in Australia, and he had one of those drones, and it was singing Not Like Us. And it was just like attacking Drake on his it's fucking hysterical.
That's diabolical. But, love that.
No, but everything he does is diabolical. I heard something about the ex of like that where he was performing, and then he brought Serena Williams, Drake's ex, just to dance. Like to Drake's defense, the only thing I'll say is he's really inside Kendrick's head.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. Or like, God, does Kendrick just fucking hate that?
Yeah,
guy?
Yeah. Both ways.
Yeah.
I'm trying to see both ways of it, because I, as a like a singer, as a performer, I do like Drake, but everything else, like, get away from me.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I mean, this particular battle, whether you like either side, like Kendrick's winning by just multiple.
Now, would it have been better if Lil Wayne was in it? I feel like I feel like he couldn't play most of his songs, and that he would have been fucked up. Like, I don't know, man. Yeah. It's Super Bowl.
I mean, rap is pretty tough for like the Super Bowl halftime show, just because it's like,
no, you have to have some classics.
Yeah, yeah. You need a classics, and you can't just
some
be
radio,
you know,
shit.
Going, yeah, you can't just be yeah.
No, like a couple of them, like, I don't know, I'm not big into the choreography stuff of it, but like they could have had a better leadoff song. Like, I don't know. Just the way it was perceived, it didn't go well.
No, I feel like, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know. Like R&B or just like rock with like guitar solos and shit.
Oh, yeah.
I feel like that's kind of how it should. Like, if you like look at it, like, I feel like the biggest ones were like U2, Prince. Bruce Springsteen killed it.
Yeah, I even liked
Eminem did a good job.
Yeah, I liked a couple years ago the
Katy Perry had a wild show.
Yeah,
I'm not the biggest Katy Perry like fan musically, but like her fucking halftime show was incredible. Lady Gaga also, same thing.
I'm trying to like remember back then. I was going through like who played where and when a couple weeks ago, and I'm like, but they just had. I remember Maroon 5 was like terrible, and they're usually killing.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's tough. I mean, I mean, that's like even for those people who are just like tour the world and do all that, like Super Bowl halftime's like the biggest show of your life.
Yeah, no, that's everyone, literally.
Yeah,
everyone's
like that's
watching.
like that's like everyone like on the world.
And half the people who are watching aren't watching for the sports. They're waiting for
the
pop
like
culture, the music.
Yeah.
So it can get a little spicy coming there. Especially when a tit is ripped off. What was that? The fucking
JT.
Yeah. Jenny Jackson.
Getting after it.
Love it. I'm going to, before the baseball minute, I'm going to lead on to these five questions presented by the law offices of Patrick J. Foley. I had a lot of these questions teed up for Magic, but just didn't go. First, food question. Does mayo belong on an Italian sub?
No.
No? I'm big on mayo on Italian sub. I think it spices up a little bit. A little provolone cheese, throw in some oil, you know, all the works. You get it done. You got a little... bake the bread a little bit. You gotta.
I would definitely bake the bread. Bake we need magic because I'm not the biggest Italian sub guy. Like I can't go like too in detail in this, but like if I had an option of mayo without mayo, I feel like I'd pick no mayo.
I'd say I probably average.
That's basically where I went.
Probably average one every 2 months, so I'm not this killer either.
Okay.
So,
okay.
But mayo, I know it's big. Like some people put mustard on it, and
I don't think I would do that either.
I go the other way with mustard. I'm not like I'm a mayo guy, not a mustard guy. I feel like there's either one or the other. You can do both. I'm not gonna like sit here and be like Captain America of. I mean, you're Captain America clearly
yeah.
right now. But,
yeah, yeah. No mustard.
That's fair. That was all right. So more back to a sports question. So we have, besides the Celtics who won the championship last year, who would you like to see most win a title? I mean, yours is cut the two because you're just strictly not a Red Sox fan. Mine would definitely be the Patriots because at this point, we've seen the highest of the high. Now we've seen the lowest of the low. And we're starting to see positive sightings of at least like a head coach in here who we're familiar with where he has experience. We have a quarterback who we think is going to be here for the next decade. There's an offensive coordinator who's won Super Bowls here. It'd be nice to see another Super Bowl. I get the Bruins thing, you know, would be nice since we have come so close since 2011. But I would like to see another Patriots one without Tom Brady or Bill Belichick.
I've seen 3 Super Bowl wins since we won the Cup. I need it.
I agree. I just wanted to go the other way.
No, I feel it all. Like, don't get me fucking wrong. Like Drake May, like the future is bright. Like honest trajectory. The Patriots seem so far off. They might be fucking closer. Oh, wow. I mean, like you know what? Because the Bruins have a tough task in the East. It's not just like them. Like,
yeah,
get there, then they're gonna have to beat Carolina, the fucking Rangers, the Panthers, the Lightning, like,
and the Bruins, like, this,
if they get there,
Bruins, like, this is the bar, and they've been like above the bar just for a little bit. Now they're like going right to the bar, and the Patriots were like all the way high, and then they went all the way low, and maybe they're gonna start working their way up again.
Yeah,
so like being like a consistent mid or just sucking and then being good again, like. It has its positives and negatives.
Yeah. Yeah. No, yeah. Straight Depends up. On the week. Yeah.
Yeah. Food question number 3, go-to sauce for chicken fingers. This could be, you know, you name it, you got it. I mean, honey mustard, I feel like, is really just coming in with electricity. Barbecue used to be the old one. And I also have to throw out there, if you go to Chick-fil-A, get some Chick-fil-A sauce. Get some Polynesian sauce.
Polynesian, yeah.
You really want to let it rip. If you go, let me put it this way. If you go with naked nugs, you're fucking criminal.
No. There's Polynesian sauce in my fridge right now. I think it, like, and like, not just like Polynesian sauce, but in general, I think sweet and sour and honey mustard, it's just like a fight to the death between all those. Right.
That's fair.
Like, I think those are like, 1A, 1B, I would absolutely accept fucking either.
But like,
I would lean sweet and sour.
You got to be a serial killer if you just pick none, right?
Yeah, no, you can like nugs need sauce.
I like. Would you eat chicken fingers if you couldn't get any sauce anywhere? I don't.
Irish pub, maybe.
Yeah,
but that's due to a lot of fucking.
Yeah, and a lot of yeah.
That I would accept.
Okay,
it.
That's
but
fair.
I would not. Yeah, like at home, like there would be a side of some sauce. If yeah, I made some chicken nuggets, 100%.
I don't think I've done the maybe yet a game or something, but I haven't done the like original vintage chicken fingers with ketchup in a long time.
No.
And it's a classic. Like, it's a classic. Yeah. There's nothing wrong with that. Like, like we said, mustard with an Italian, like, could, you know, pump some heads a little bit. But ketchup with chicken fingers, I think that's a go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's good.
It's
classic.
Holiday question here. St. Patrick's Day or Halloween?
St. Patrick's Day for me by miles.
Yeah.
That's by miles.
I think that's by miles for me, too. I just, you know, the Sunday parade in Southie, I don't really go to that anymore, but... It's festive, and it's kind of a whole weekend type of thing. Well, Halloween's more of a college. I don't know, even when you're younger, going around getting candy, it's more of a youth.
I'm a huge fan of like the idea of Halloween. Like TV plays horror movies all month, and like that's fucking sick. People have weird shit outside of their houses. I love that.
Oh, Halloween, like my own's best.
But like Halloween, like as like a party holiday, like I've never really, it's never been too high on my list. Whereas St. Patrick's Day is extremely high on my list. Like almost there.
What's a better drinking holiday than St. Patrick's Day? Like, I think New Year's is overrated. Like, that's not even, I think it's St. Patty's Day. I think it takes it.
Yeah, I mean, you got the 4th, and I think that's about it.
Yeah, I mean, I guess good weather.
I'm wearing this. Yeah. Like, I can't like disrespect the 4th of July.
See, if you lived in Florida or something, like that would be a more interesting question. Like,
that's fair.
St. Patty's Day or the 4th of July, where it's probably 95 plus. So, I mean, that's up for debate. But I would, it's right there. And this is a bit of a thinker. I just thought of it right now. Best movie to remake, because, you know, we have Happy Gilmore 2 coming out. I just heard the murmurs of a new Hitch coming out with my boy Kevin James and Will Smith. But I'll start. I was going maybe a Step Brothers 2, just because it was so electric the first time. And I feel like you could write something up where it could lead to some type of comedy. Haven't really seen Will Ferrell in anything in a long time. John C. Reilly is a man on a mission. And then the last thing I saw The Father in was the Jeffrey Dahmer, you know, show, which was an awful occurrence because it was just tough. Yeah, it was tough. It was a tough watch. So
that's a remake.
Miracle 2 when Team USA wins the final night.
Yeah, I wanted created by Friday. I don't know. That's a good question. Yeah. A lot of movies.
Up for debate.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm trying to think of like a early 2000s one. So it's like
just anything with Adam Sandler.
Back. Yeah, pretty much. That hasn't been made yet. Seriously.
Adam Sandler or Ryan Reynolds.
Yeah. No, give me a remake of Master and Commander Sleeper with Russell Crowe.
Wow.
Give me some modern day special effects on that. You think
he can still
bitch.
Move? Yeah, there's got to be some CGI.
No, we don't need Russell Crowe in it. They just made Gladiator 2, and he was much more necessary for that.
Yeah, how'd that go? I feel like I heard it was a miss.
I liked that movie a lot. A lot of the haters of it kind of went the full, like, dude, like, and obviously it's ridiculous. Like, dude, there was, like, fucking, like, rhinos and like sharks in the fucking thing. Like, and obviously that's like not realistic. There weren't sharks in the fucking call, but like, who cares? Dude, it's a movie.
We did see there was a preview for a new Jurassic Park, right, with Scarlett Johansson.
Yes.
I think we saw that during the Super Bowl.
Yes, Jurassic World Rebirth.
That would be nice. Haven't seen one of those in a while. Yeah.
See.
Yeah, we'll see. Baseball minute. We're in the midst of February right now. Spring training just started, and the Red Sox found a new infielder. Alex Bregman, the Yankee killer, you name it, he's done it. Two-time World Series champ, quoted himself as a winner. And then we have Rafael Devers, who refuses to play nothing but third base. Even on the last 4 or 5 seasons, he's statistically been the worst third baseman in baseball.
Statistically.
But still, we are going to obey to him and not go to DH. I don't understand it. I hope Alex Cora lights a fire under his ass. But it's going to be a good season. I'm not worried about anything.
Alex Bregman showing up and like sucking, then crumbling the Red Sox from the inside out at Devers leaves. It could all be perfect for me.
Yeah. So his deal is 3 years, $120 million, but each year there's an opt-out.
Yeah, like him ruining everything this year and opting out is perfect.
It could be a setup. I have the projected opening day lineups.
And don't
think
the Astros are above sending you an inside man.
Yeah. Oh, no, I'm in.
He might opt out that 1 year and come right back.
We have their bench coach as the head coach. I mean, Alex Cora is going to be running the ways. Right now, the Red Sox starting lineup is looking like this. Duran in left, Devers at third, which I don't like. I think Devers should be the full-time DH. They're trying to get rid of Masataka Yoshida however possible, but he couldn't even get gone for a damn, may I say it again, washing machine. Devers should be a full-time DH. He gets paid $30 million a year for the next 6-7 years to be a DH. Could, you know, hit 30 jacks a year, be in the conversation for Hall of Fame. Oh, and also make your team better. I think all signs point to him DHing, or, you know, something's gonna give.
Yeah, I mean, that lineup right there, I feel like everyone after Bregman, that's a really good lineup if you get, like, the best out of all those guys. Yeah. But, well, like, none of them are, like, guaranteed to give you said best.
I also think that Tristan Casas is a huge pussy. He came out today saying that Rafi's our third baseman, which, like, what have you done, Tristan Casas, since you've been here? Yeah, you had a great minor league career. It's 2025. No one gives a shit. You were a call away from getting traded to Seattle this offseason. I still kind of hope it happens so we can put Rafi in your spot. So, okay, he won't be the third baseman anymore. He'll be the first baseman, and your ass will be out of here. The silver lining of it all is Alex Bregman and Trevor Story, that in-between second and shortstop. I kind of love it. I don't think Trevor Story is going to hit over 220 this year, but I think they're going to be turning some double plays. Maybe triple plays.
Could be.
Yeah. On the other side of the outfield, they have Willy Abreu and Seydon Rafaela. Rafaela had a great year last year. Could be, you know, a good nine hitter, center field, playing good defense, stealing bases. But then you have the triple threat coming up, which is, you know, Roman Anthony, who's the number one prospect in baseball. He should be your everyday starting right fielder. We'll see how it, you know, plays out in spring training. Things get different. Willy Abreu is easy trade bait. Again, they have a lot of guys here who I don't care who they would get back with shitty prospects, but just there's enough guys in the minor league system. There's enough guys in contention to play where we don't need this Abreu guy. We don't need Tristan Casas. Definitely don't need Masataka Yoshida.
Yeah.
We don't need any of those fuckers.
Yeah. And I mean, come on, Trevor Story, dude.
Yeah, the very underrated part of this group, which they did not have last year, is going to be their pitching. In particular, I mean, Garrett Crochet has thrown 98, 99 on the bump already. He's going to be a clear ace. Taylor Hawk had a pretty good, at least, I'll call it 70% of the year last year, then it kind of fell off. Bayo has good upside if he gets it going. And then Walker Buehler won a one-year deal, I think, could be a clutch signing. He's been there. He's done that. He has an opportunity here to, you know, get himself better in perhaps another contract next year. And then Lucas Giolito, who we didn't have last year, he got hurt in the beginning of the season. Mm-hmm. If he's your fifth starter, you're looking pretty damn good. And Cutter Crawford, again, I would trade him for that hat over there. I don't give a shit.
Yeah. I mean, as long as Crochet lives up to the expectation, because he does only have like one full season of being.
Yeah,
that,
no, but he could just completely tank and like a he huge does,
and that's not even me being like the negative Yankees fan here. Like he literally only has one season
with the worst team in the history of the game.
Yeah, so I mean, you're expecting a lot from him, and he needs to perform to that level. But it's very possible because he was fucking nasty last year. He definitely was.
Well, the thing that people always forget head to the season is how many guys just get hurt after like five games. Mm-hmm. So like what you see in this lineup is not what you're going to see at the end of the season. I like even like Alex Bregman at second base. Like I do not see that happening for longer than maybe a month.
Oh, no, especially where you guys have Roman Anthony. And like, yeah, I mean, no, he's going to be there fucking September.
Yeah,
Christian
Campbell, the guy at second there working over there, who's a top prospect, but I don't think they want to get him in yet. I don't think he's ready. Should be an entertaining AL East once again. I wish Anton was here to defend his guys because it looks like he might be coming out in the basement this year. He might.
It's possible, but dude, the Rays, like all those fuckers, you have no idea what those names are. Like they're all going to be sick.
Yeah, they find a way.
Yeah, like you know what I mean? Like
Keep an eye on Junior Caminero. He's a fucking tank.
Yeah, see what I mean?
He's the guy that, you know, they lost fucking whatever, the guy who...
Yeah, I bet Johnny DeLuca has like 40 steals. 40 like, steals. Like, you know what I mean? Like, that's just Rays baseball.
Yeah. And the Yankees clearly, I mean, they made it to the World Series last year. I think they're clearly the favorites in the AL East this year. They stayed afloat. They got older. Paul Goldschmidt, who plays flawless over there. Cody Bellinger, who's... You know, I think he's been an MVP in this league. He, you know, was pretty good with the Cubs.
Huge addition with the short porch.
Yeah, a big time.
Like, that could definitely take Cody. As long as he can make contact, that can take Cody to God knows where.
I mean, Soto's a once-in-a-lifetime hitter, but, like, look what it did for him last year.
Oh, yeah, no, like, you obviously, like, when Juan Soto leaves, you don't just, like, go out and replace Juan Soto. That's fucking, that's, like, Aaron Judge and Otani are replacing Juan Soto. Yeah. that's fucking it. That's like, fair. You got to move on.
Yeah. I have beef with you. In MLB The Show, Anthony Volpe stinks. Does that kind of make sense?
He doesn't go yard, but he's a, like, how does he stink?
He like literally can't hit the ball. Maybe it's a me problem.
It's definitely a you problem. You suck at that game.
And Austin Wells is a player. Wells is a player.
Great stash.
And then actually you beat us for Max Fried, who is going to be your number two this year.
Yeah, big addition.
Marcus Stroman says he has the Rafael Devers effect. He can only start games, apparently, even though he's a number six starter here and clearly one of the best teams in baseball.
No, he pulled he's deleted all his Yankee picks on his Instagram, which I think he's done on every team. He's like left.
Yeah, he's such a prima donna little
bitch.
Yeah,
he's fucking gone. And I could absolutely fucking
care
less.
No one can. No. Yeah. Like Rodon's good. Was it Hill? Was he hurt last year or did he...
He won Rookie of the Year. He did go. He had a good start and then got hurt. Okay. He was out for a bit, though.
And then I know nothing about Clark Schmidt, but...
Solid pitcher.
Take a word for it.
Solid pitcher.
It seems like it's going to be another doozy. The Orioles, coming off a playoff year, too, they got Tyler O'Neill from us. I think that's their only addition. So, I mean, the Reds... I'll tell you right now, I'm trying to be unbiased as possible. The Red Sox definitely got better.
Yeah, the scariest one is the Orioles, though, because, like, all of their superstar studs, like, the Yankees went and got, like, two older players. They, like, the Red Sox kind of got some, like, older players. Like, their studs, like, just turned 25.
Yeah, 25. So they
like, they might be so much better. Yeah, like, we might have seen nothing from them yet. Like, they could be fucking stick.
Yeah, like, Jackson Holliday was a rookie last year. He's 20 years old.
And Adley Rutschman's, like, fucking, like, in that age group. Gunnar Henderson's in that age group.
Was an MVP candidate last year.
Yeah, exactly. Like, they're going to be a problem. They didn't have to go out and fucking do too much.
Yeah, Tyler O'Neill hit. I mean, he had 30-something bombs for the Red Sox last year. He had a great year. So, I mean, adding one of those guys to your lineup's big.
Looks like they got Charlie Morton.
Charlie Morton, dude. Just
how are you still doing this to me, Charlie Morton, dude?
Teams, dude. And he just fucking throws strikes, keeps the ball low, puts the ball in play.
He's going to go like 12-6 with a fucking... like.
And then the Blue Jays, who, I don't know, they just... can't figure it out, apparently. They picked up Max Scherzer as, you know, a late option. Vladimir Guerrero going to be a Red Sox next year, so we'll be watching him all season. They got someone else, too, who was big, right? Or was that the big pickup, Max Scherzer? Yeah, basically, they stood put. I mean, I don't know who Will Wagner is. Only from the show, I know Dalton Varsho, I know.
Yeah, George Springer, obviously.
Anthony Santander actually was the pickup. I got confused because Santander was on the Orioles last year, stays in the AL East, that's actually a good pickup. He had 40 jacks last year, so.
Will Wagner, that's a DH name.
Yeah,
I'd love to see that.
I would like to see more on this guy, because that's interesting. 26 years old, second baseman, only has played 82 games in his career.
Wow.
So.
And they have him as the four hitter at DH?
Was that what it was?
Of six hitter, okay.
Still, you're in the lineup.
Yeah, hey.
And Alejandro Kirk, I mean, that guy is a fridge. 5'8", 245. I mean, I'm 5'8", I'm not 245, though. That guy's just literally a box.
No, they are the all-time fridge Vogelback. He just signed on as the Pittsburgh Pirates hitting coach.
Oh, Jesus, he's out of the league?
Yeah, some comment thought it was like, this man hit 219 lifetime, Joey's resume. No, I was like, fuck. It's like, they got him. That guy was a fucking MLB The Show legend, though.
Bombs. He was.
Bombs. It had to be a bomb. He wasn't doing anything.
Yeah, couldn't run out of the box, but good stuff. Good baseball. That's good baseball talk for February. The Red Sox, I just like how it's relevant again. I like how the saga, the only one who fucking fucks up on the Red Sox is the Red Sox themselves. Like, okay, let's sign this guy who clearly is one of the better defensive third basemen in baseball. By the way, our best player is a struggling third baseman who hits bombs, but we have to tell him now that he can't play his position.
You guys just signed a couple players. See you on the field.
Yeah. No, we'll see. I like the farm system. I like where it's going.
And fuck Alex Bregman forever, so...
Yeah,
that's an all-time easy one for me to slide into. Like, when you guys got Chris Sale, that, like, killed me.
Yeah.
Like, Alex Bregman, like, I've hated that guy's guts for a decade now. Easy.
I've always been huge on him and Altuve. I love both of them from Houston. Every other one can kind of... Actually, Springer's good. The only guy I kind of hated was Correa. I think Correa's a fucking bum, but everyone else cool.
Mm.
Celtics coming in hot after the All-Star break. Tatum and Brown were in the All-Star game. I didn't watch it at all.
No.
I did tune into the new documentary on Netflix about Team USA, and like nothing mentioned of Tatum yet so far. It's actually pretty cool, bouncing from team to team, like Serbia, inside France, just like how Wemby's going to be a fucking stud and good stuff. I would get into that, but back on the Celtics here, you know, it seems like this is the time they come out and play. I feel like they were playing their best basketball going into the break. Jason Tatum, I think, was averaging over 30 points a game the last two or three. So yeah, they beat the Spurs, the Heat, they put a beat down on the Knicks. Drew Holiday coming back Thursday night against the Sixers as they open up the second part of the season. Right now they're sitting at 39-16, which is good for second place in the Eastern Conference, 5.5 behind Cleveland. I mean, it's the same song that we've been talking about all year. Just get to the playoffs, man, get a 1 or 2 seed. And they can take care of business.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. I think, yeah, the Celtics still absolutely no cares in the world. Not worried about anything. Shout out the Pistons.
Yeah. The fact
that's the storyline of the East for me.
It is.
That team was on like two separate, like 20 game losing streaks last year. Separate.
Yeah. We were, when we were recording 2 weeks ago, I never really bet basketball, hockey, or whatever, but I was trying to get my money up so I could put it all in the big game, the Super Bowl. And I had the Cavs over the Pistons. I think it was the spread was like 4 or something, and they hit a game-winning 3, so I lost. But then I looked at the standings. I was like, wait a minute, the Pistons are a playoff team? Like, what the fuck is this? But good for them.
Oh, absolutely. That's good stuff.
Cade Cunningham clearly having a good year, 25.4.
Finally becoming the player he looked like. And then, yeah, because, I mean, what teams are beneath them that clearly didn't think they would beneath them?
Like the Celtics-wise?
The Heat and 76ers, no way they thought going into the season the Pistons would be beating them up
The Magic, Hawks.
Hawks and Magic kind of happy to be there. They might
all
not kind of
hanging around.
Yeah.
Definitely Detroit's a surprise on the east side. The Western Conference definitely is Houston. You know, Ime Udoka. They're at a 4 seed right now in a very competitive Western Conference.
That kid, Sengun.
Yeah.
Stud. What a player that kid is.
They have Dylan Brooks. They have Fred VanVleet. They got a bunch of players who can really swing it. Oklahoma City, SGA, is the leading MVP candidate in the league. Jason Tatum right now sitting at plus... I want to say it's 3,000. Yeah, it's got to be plus 3,000 to win MVP. So it's SGA, Jokic, and then it goes Tatum plus 3,000.
Yeah, and Jokic is at the like LeBron fucking thing where you got to kind of like turn away from the stats to give it to someone else.
Yeah. I mean, he's won it three
times. That's what I'm saying. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But then like that's part of the reason you're like give it to someone else, but then it's like you see he's like averaging a triple-double. And
yeah.
It's like, fuck.
He's just the commander of basketball.
Oh, yeah. No,
everything
unbelievable player.
And he literally, like they were showing when I was watching that documentary today of them in the locker room. Dude takes his shirt off. Literally looks like one of us. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like he's
just
like built like a, not even a brick shit house, just built like a guy who just ordered 5 pizzas.
Trying to get back to his horses.
He's trying to get back to his horse. No, when he won the championship a couple of years ago, he was like, I'm trying to get back. Dude, yeah, and I don't care about the parade.
Yeah.
But the Celtics, man, sitting pretty good. I think banner 19 is definitely possible this year. I mean, I guess that's not a big call there. It's not a big bold prediction, but what else going on? White Lotus season 3 just came out this past Sunday. Didn't really like the preview. I was like pretty down on it, and then within the first 10 minutes, it gets you in because it's I guess spoiler alert, but it's not that big of a spoiler. Every season starts with like basically the ending. Like the first 5 minutes, and then it goes to the beginning of the story. Mm-hmm. So it kind of gives you the little foreshadow. And they had quite the foreshadow. I recommend it.
Okay, yeah, checking that out. Yellow Jackets came back too. I haven't checked it out yet.
Okay.
They're both back, but I have not got into episode one of each. I think only episode one of each is released.
Walter Goggins is in it. You know Walter Goggins?
Oh, yeah. Walton.
Is it Walton or Walter?
Pretty sure it's Walton.
Walton? Okay, Walton Goggins. He plays in like a complete rich like shithead. Good stuff. Just
Great actor.
Ripping that drinks, drugs, getting it going. Yeah, I love Vice Principals with him and Danny McBride. It's Showtime TV.
Oh, yeah, no, that guy crushes it.
Good stuff. Eating scene, you got out the Drifters, new Drifters in Quincy.
Stopped Hancock in the Drifters, liked the vibes in there. They had good espresso martinis. Did not get any food, though.
Okay.
Food was, not sure if we were too late for food, but we just didn't get any regardless.
Okay. Seems like they have burgers, pizzas, like just...
Yeah. Looked like they had everything. Vibes were high in there. Had some ambiance. Like it was like dark. They had some like almost like Fat Cat esque, like old school Fat Cat esque stuff up on the wall. Like that was like a cat. Like I don't even know what it was supposed to be. But there's graffiti on the walls and there was a nice little spot.
Did they have the guy from the Fat Cat, the Tommy Tough Tits, being the hostess?
No, they didn't have that fucking guy.
That guy was tough.
Nowhere in sight. But yeah. No, it's good vibes in there and we'll good be vibes. Attending there definitely in the near future.
There we go. You know, I got to get there soon.
Definitely going to be in there more than great. I was in Idle Hour, respectfully.
Oh, yeah. No, I don't think I stepped in Idle Hour once. I remember one time, I think the Red Sox were in the playoffs, and I was just like, hey, like trying to watch the game. And whoever was I was going to meet there was trying to get a game on. They're like, oh, we don't do that here. So I'm like, okay, not going there.
Yeah. No.
I get that, like, if you have a bar and that's like not your vibe, but if you have a fucking TV there and there's a playoff game in Boston, turn on the TV.
Oh, yeah.
If you don't have the TV, that's one thing. That's our fault.
Yeah.
If you have a TV, that's your fault.
Yeah, especially like baseball. Like, it's not overbearingly loud. No. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's like a calm fucking... until, like, a home run happens or some shit.
And
obviously.
Put it on mute. Put it on mute. Well, I'll just watch it on mute. I'll continue my conversation while seeing, you know, the 97th pitch of the game.
Yeah, exactly. Yep.
Fuck. trip down memory lane there. That's all I have tonight. Misty Magic, Anton, wherever you are, in some basement glooming,
having a blast though.
Yeah. Episode 182 in the books. I want to give a big shout out to Hedgebetter. Producer Justin sets it up every time we come in. Gotta give him his credit, his due. Also, the offices of Patrick J. Foley, located in Quincy, Massachusetts, in the United States of America, Texas 265 Willard Street. I say that because we have a big game coming up on Thursday. It will probably be done by the time this comes out. But you know what? I don't care because it's our year.
God bless America. Yeah. No place else. Let's go, baby.
We'll see you next time.